Hi.
Hi. By the way, that banner is just the coolest banner I've ever seen. I love it so much with the phoenix. I actually drew the phoenix oracle card on the Scorpio new moon. So
how fun. It's the theme here.
And the phoenix represents life, death, and rebirth, doesn't it?
It does. You know, when we were redesigning the logo, it was like, oh, you should have like the phoenix. And someone was like, change the name of the store. And I'm like, no, it's not suicide to do that. But so today we're talking about past life and reincarnation and all the things Dana can help you with that. So how did you get into past life and reincarnation work?
Oh my gosh. So I got into this because my spiritual journey got me introduced to spirit guides. And I started to watch Sylvia Brown on the Montel Williams show. And this is like 15 years ago. I started really getting into spirit guides. And I thought, gosh, what else does this woman have to talk about? So I found out that she had a book called Past Lives, Future Healing. And I bought it. Actually, the book found me. Every bookstore I would go to, that book was there. So finally, I bought it. And it was like the universe was trying to tell me, you need this book. And so I bought the book. I read it in one day. And there was a script in the back of the book on how to give somebody a past life regression. And the book was filled with stories about how people had healed because they had revisited their past lives and how it started to make so much sense to what was occurring in their current life theme. And I was just fascinated. So there's a script in the back of the book, and I only just glanced over the script because it was pretty long. But I had a friend who was interested. She used to watch the Montel Williams show with me when we worked together. We would go into the break room and watch it at lunch. So she was into spirit guides too. And I said, "Ooh, I've got this Sylvia Brown thing." Well, it was her birthday. And I went to her house with a bottle of champagne. And I said, "Your birthday gift is a past life regression. And then we'll open the champagne." And she was like, "No, I want the champagne." But I read, she laid on her couch. I read the script word for word, and I did not expect it to work. I thought she was going to, it was going to turn into some joke and we were going to crack the champagne. But as soon as I got to the part that said, "Where are you?" she was sort of in this trance-like state. And she just started talking about her past life in Rome. She was at the scene of an arranged marriage. She was being forced down the aisle. She was being married to some ugly bishop. It was for money. Her parents arranged it. And it was just an awful life for her because she was married to this terrible person. But she ended up having a bunch of kids with him and taught them that they could marry for love. She was able to change the rules of that time in that family, that she did not arrange her children's marriages and did not let it happen. And so she was able to turn something around. And it really correlated to something that was occurring in one of the relationships in her life. We were blown away by the time this regression was over. We never opened the champagne. We went straight to her computer and started verifying all of these dates and places that she was talking about, even the name of the bishop, which she had no idea because she had never been to Rome. So, and then after that, I was like, who can I give another past life regression to? So I started regressing my friends who were yoga teachers at the time, and they regressed my teacher to Atlantis. And, you know, I just started regressing people. And then I started thinking, gosh, I should maybe add this to what I do because it's helping a lot of people. And then I started charging for it and turning it into added to the list of the many ways that I help people. So that's kind of how I got started. But it did trace back for me to memories that I had had as a kid that I knew it was me in the memory, but I didn't look like me because I was older than me and I had blonde hair. and so I was just wondering, am I having memories of a past life? And I remembered a conversation that my twin brother and I had about how he was in Vietnam when we were, you know, like 15 years old. And I'm like, so how were you in Vietnam? He's like, I was a black man in Vietnam. I was a gunner on a helicopter. And so it's like he had all this information for me.
Interesting.
Amazing. Yeah. So that's just kind of how it all got started.
Does he still remember that as he's getting older?
He's really still attached to the Vietnam War. He watches every movie, every documentary. He's drawn pictures. He's, you know, he's just really, really still feels a tie to that. And, you know, he knows that he died, he went down in a helicopter, but he also has information about some secret operation mission that they went into Cambodia. Like, I don't even know any of this stuff because I don't follow that. But that's the kind of thing that happens, is the information that comes through when you have these memories. And, you know, years later, after I had given many people a past life regression, I decided to start to train other people on how to do it. And again, it's just, here's my script from Sylvia Brown, but I started writing my own scripts, and I started doing, changing them a little bit and adding my own personal touch to the regressions and the process, and getting really practiced in it over the years, that I decided to train a group of people. I've actually now trained 3 groups of people on how to do past life regression, because why not? If it's so much healing is involved, let's not hoard this gift and let's share it. So they practiced on me. My students practiced on me, and now I know like 15 of my past life past lives. And one of the past life regressions that I had with one of my students was I went back to the past life of the memories that I had had when I was a kid. And it was like Stonehenge times. I was a druid. So it all made sense. Fascinating stuff. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's always interesting to hear stories. And there's that little boy who, you know, could remember the past life. And he was like in a helicopter that went down. Mm-hmm. And the dad kept saying, no, it's his imagination. And he was obsessed with certain types of helicopters and some of the symbols from the uniforms, and knew his name, knew the name of the other guys. And when the dad finally got on board and investigated, sure enough, there was somebody named that, and he found the guys living. And but as he's gotten older, he's kind of forgotten, you know, some of that. That's why I asked if your brother could still remember, you know, some of that.
Yeah. You know what? It's interesting. The past life memories do start to go away for many people at a certain age. You know, just because the world imposes so much other information on you. We forget. You know, a lot of children know what they want to be when they grow up because they wrote it before they came into this life. You know, it's mapped out in their plan, and then they start to forget, and then maybe they'll find it again later. But, you know, when we're still fresh from the other side before we come in here, we still have these memories. We still have, you know, we know a lot about why we're here. There's so many wonderful stories like that about how children remember, and they'll say things to, you know, to their grandma, like, I remember when I was your grandma, you know, and things like that. Yeah, back in, you know, South America in the 1500s. Yeah, it's fascinating to hear the kids talk about that. And I definitely recommend, if anybody's watching or listening, that if you have a child that's starting to talk about stuff like this, encourage them. Ask them questions. You'll learn so much. You know, sometimes we're afraid and we don't have the information. It's your imagination, because I don't understand it, and I'm afraid of what you're talking about. And they'll get shut down. And then that's how we grow up, thinking imagination's a bad thing, because we're taught that, oh, stop it. It's your imagination.
Right. So, time to grow up and get out of the fanciful thoughts.
Yes. Yeah. But luckily my brother has me, a very spiritual person, to encourage, you know, and I have regressed hundreds and hundreds of people. I want to say around 400. I stopped counting at 300. I stopped counting at 300. That was a long time ago. So if I had to guess, 400 maybe. And in all of these regressions that I've done, these people don't know each other. They all tell me the same thing, right? We've been here before. So in that experience that I've had, it's just reinforces over and over again, this is real. How could all of these people that come my way make something like this up, and why would they? Mm-hmm. So there are some skeptics out there. You know, I don't work with a lot of skeptics unless they really want to work with me, because I don't have all that time to waste. But the universe usually doesn't send me skeptics. I do remember one gal coming to me who she told me, she goes, I am skeptical, but I'm really curious too. And I said, here's the thing. I said, we'll give it a try. And if nothing happens, you don't owe me any money. But if something happens, here's what it costs. And after the regression, she was writing me a check. Because she went to a past life that completely answered so many questions. And if you like the stories, I'll go ahead and tell you. In this life, she was actually a bit a bit shy. She really was. She was sort of a bit of a wallflower and was really hesitant to make connections with people, especially in social gatherings and things. And, you know, she never really questioned why, but in this past lifetime, she was deaf and mute. She was always on the outside looking in. And the cells of her body, her cellular memory, kind of recalled that in this lifetime because it was unresolved. And so in this life, she felt like she was still didn't have a voice or wasn't heard and couldn't participate on some level. So it's really fascinating. And after the regression, she started saying yes to things. She started going on trips. She started traveling. She started making more connections with community. And it answered a lot of her sort of personal questions that she never really shared with anybody. And I've got so many stories like this and how past life regression can help. If there's something that we think is weird about us or some kind of phobia that we have that we can't trace back to this life, there's always an answer. And it could even be something really bizarre.
So, you know, and, you know, that being said, those who are watching, feel free to ask questions or comments in the chat section. And Dana, you know, will answer you live right now. And if you watch on the replay, if you keep asking questions in the comments, we get notified. April's saying hello.
Hi.
you know, we'll go back and answer. And, you know, so Dana, what would you say? Like, you just gave an example about like communication and everything, but without too many specifics for client confidentiality, like the most like profound healing, you know, where somebody just was really able to overcome something either like physically or emotionally because of being able to go back and just take care of it.
I am thinking of two instances, and one of them, this guy came to me, his girlfriend referred him to me, and I had never met him before, and I knew his girlfriend, so I didn't know anything about him, and I gave him a past life regression, and in this past lifetime, he drowned. He was in Ireland, and he was a young man, and he fell off of a fishing boat. He was fishing, and there was a storm, and he drowned, and I had asked him while he was still regressed, is this affecting you today? And he said, yes, it's my asthma. Well, I had no idea that he had asthma. And so I started talking to his lungs. I brought in the angels and I said, let's clear his lungs. Let's tell the cells of his lungs that he is not drowning anymore and that he can breathe. And so we did this process of healing, and, you know, it was very emotional for him afterwards. And he didn't really say anything to me after we were done, and I never saw him again. And I thought, he probably thinks I'm crazy. Except 2 weeks later, he had sent me flowers, and the note said, thank you so much for that, because I haven't used my inhaler since the regression, and I've been using it since I was a kid. His asthma was gone. So that's one instance that I can remember. But that just popped in my head. There's so many stories like this. The other one was a past life where I regressed a woman to a life where she was playing on the beach with her younger sibling, and they were playing in the water in the ocean, and they were dunking each other and things like that. Well, she had accidentally dunked her younger sibling under for maybe longer than should have been, or something happened when she dunked her sibling that they got taken away and they drowned and died. And in this current life, a sibling of hers died, and she brought back the information that it was karmic because she had accidentally killed a sibling in a past life, that it had to come back around in this lifetime for her. So it was really interesting. She had never forgiven herself for that in that past lifetime, and she was dealing again with it in this life. So that was a really interesting thing, and she was able to actually make peace with it. Because I think one of the really interesting things that comes out of this work, when you have a past life regression and start to understand that we have been here before, is we start to live life a little bit differently. Start to look at it like, okay, wow, this is a temporary situation here, and we can come back and we can evolve. And when it's the end, it's not the end if we don't want it to be. And so my favorite quotes is, you only live once, because I always laugh at that. Like, no, you don't. But I do love that quote because it helps people live their lives. Okay. Unless you say that in a way of like, let's get reckless. Let's rob a bank. You only live once. Nope. You're going to have to come back and do some karma on that.
right. You know, and it's funny, I always say, like, when I'm done with this lifetime, I am not coming back. I am done.
Yeah, this is my last life too, pretty sure. And we can find that out in a regression, because when you soul, when your soul mind is in charge above the ego, it still knows everything. And I can ask people when they're regressed, mm-hmm. after they like die in their past life, and I cross them over, and even ask them like, what happens now after you cross over? That's some of the best. That is some of the best stuff that comes through, is what happens when you cross over. Oh, I love those you know, kinds. But what they say, they know immediately. I say, how many lives have you had? 47, 5, 600, 12, 18. I mean, the numbers range from 5 lives to 600 lives. I've heard it all. But the average is usually between 20 and 40 lives. If I were to give it an average on how many lives people say they've had. And then I can also ask, is this your last life? And oftentimes they say, no, I think I'm going to come back for a couple more. Or they'll say, oh, yeah, this is my last life. I'm not doing this again.
Well, I know Sandy here is saying that, you know, as an asthmatic herself, she finds, you know, your previous story pretty fascinating. And she's wondering if it would work for her to go through that and maybe let you have a conversation with her lungs.
Yeah.
Share that out.
Absolutely possible. You know, everybody's different. Every past life is different. And it is possible that your lungs could be remembering a time in a past life when maybe you died in a fire and it was smoke inhalation, or maybe it was a drowning or something that happened. Very, very possible. So if it's something that you keep thinking about, then it could be your spirit trying to say, look into this more. Now, it could be just that your soul charted to have asthma in this life as a lesson to overcome and accept yourself with this thing. Like, we don't know, but you'll keep getting signs now. Mm-hmm. If it's something to pursue, you know, the universe will keep putting things in your past, you know, or in your present to look at your past. So I think we get signals from the universe all the time if we're meant to explore something further.
Now, have you done a regression on somebody who is maybe going through like depression or PTSD that maybe doesn't have a direct correlation this lifetime, but can trace it back?
Absolutely. I had a client once. She wanted to see me for a past life regression because she said that she was having suicidal thoughts. And the strange thing about it was that she's a very healthy, happy person, and she had no idea why she was having suicidal thoughts. Mm-hmm. She didn't understand it. So I gave her a past life regression, and she went to a past lifetime where she killed herself. And she was the same age in that life that she was now. And there's something called morphic resonance. And morphic resonance is your body remembers something that happened, your cellular memory that happened to you at the same age that you were in a past life. So she was in a terrible, again, it was sort of like an arranged marriage, or she was a slave, a concubine or something that she couldn't get out of. And so she just said, the only way out is to kill myself. So she had slit her wrists. And so her revisiting that past lifetime offered her many, many things. It wasn't just to understand why was she having suicidal thoughts, but so many other interesting things came through in that regression, and I can share them. She started talking about how she's actually from another planet in another galaxy, and she's here to have experienced a human incarnation on Earth. And that was the first time that has happened in my experience, and would go on to have many more experiences like that down the road, where I can start to ask, where did you come from? Because she gave me the name of her planet. She was talking about how, you know, my guides are actually here in the room. And that freaked me out because I started having chills, and I was like looking around, like waving to the invisible room, like, hi. And I go, what are they doing? She goes, they're watching you, and they're so happy that you're helping me. And that freaked me out, but doesn't freak me out anymore, because now I know anything is possible in this work. And it really enhanced her life. She started to understand so much more about herself being here on this planet and grasping the idea that she didn't come from here, but that Earth is a place that we can evolve very, very quickly because of all of the negativity that's here, all of the things that we are able to overcome here. And in regards to depression, I've actually, for some people who are depressed in this life, it's hard for me to regress them. Maybe they're on medication or they've got a wall up. And so the message always comes through from guides that they need to focus on this life. this depression isn't from a past life. It's from right now. And there's no sense taking them to the past when they need to focus on this life and heal what's going on right here, right now, that they're not facing. So that's a great question. And I have two answers for it.
Right. Hi, Lindsay. Sandy says with her asthma, she was sold in a past life. She was a nurse in World War II. And she's wondering if there's a connection that way, you know, and maybe Sandy, you should get a hold of Dana.
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you if there's a connection to a past life, but if you are suspecting it, then that really could be a good open doorway. You know, some people want a past life regression from me for a certain reason, and it wasn't what they expected. I'll give them their past life regression and say, well, let's go in and see. And maybe you've got 40 lives. The soul is going to take you to the lifetime that you most need to see. And it might not be the one that you thought you wanted, but it would be the one that you needed. And so I always tell everybody, well, we'll try to go in and see if you had a past lifetime with this particular person, or if that is where what your body is remembering for this particular ailment or injury. But let's be open. Let's not have expectations and be open to where your soul wants to take you. And they may go to a completely different past life. Maybe it was some other trauma they needed to release, or maybe they needed to go to a past lifetime where they need to kind of pull in some gifts that they might be denying right now. Mm. And so you can actually strengthen some of your gifts, because a lot of times on our journey, we take on the same theme in many lives. And just having had many past life regressions myself, I have also come to that realization that I have been a teacher and a healer in the majority of my lives, not all of them. You know, sometimes I'm a Mongolian man on a horse fighting the Chinese at the wall, but sometimes I'm a teacher and a healer. So yeah, I mean, it could be anything. If you're really curious, you know, we can always go in. We can always set out an intention, but then be open to where the spirit wants to take you. And it's also interesting that sometimes when I regress someone, they go to more than one past life in the regression, because the soul says, hey, we've got this open door. Let's visit three past lives and connect the dots on how all of these line up and sort of match up to what you're now going through or trying to learn.
So April is asking if you have Facebook or a website, which you do have Facebook.
I do. I am on Facebook. That's where I do the majority of my posting and communicating. I do online workshops now because of the pandemic. I am actually planning on doing a past life regression workshop sometime in the new year online. So you can find me on Facebook. But also, if you are in the Northeast Ohio area, we can meet at Goddess Elite and do a past life regression there. If you're not comfortable meeting because of the pandemic, we can certainly figure something out. I've been doing a lot of Zoom regressions this pandemic, and it's been working. But, you know, you'll know, like, it's always the right time. And I've been scheduling with people, and then something would happen and it wouldn't work out, but it wasn't the right time. I don't have a website. I actually have a website just specifically for a priestess training that I do. It doesn't have any of my other stuff on it, but it's mostly, I've just been doing this over the years, kind of word of mouth. It's really how I do it. Everybody like will pass my name along, or I do a lot of work in community. So people find me that way. And that's kind of what they say, when the soul needs something, you'll find your teacher. So,
right. Well, and your Facebook is just your name, which is there on the screen with your phone number.
It's true.
So find her on Facebook. There's the phone number to contact her for scheduling. Because you do the past life, and but you also do like chakra cleansing readings.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So that's something else that you offer.
And I do astrological birth charts. I'm really into astrology. I do spiritual counseling, and I'm a yoga and meditation teacher as well.
You've got lots of tricks in your bag.
I got lots of tricks. I'm a Gemini, so I'm always, I got a lot of a variety of options. Which ways would you like to heal today? Let's pull it out of a hat.
Well, and it's cool because, like, I tell people, like, when you're in the store and I'm like, by the way, Dana's available, and they go, well, what does she do? And I'm always like, it's so different. like you're the only reader that, you know, they get to recline in a zero gravity chair and, you know, just kind of relax and not really have to do anything but be open.
Yes.
You know, yeah,
that's so fun. And I can sometimes read your past lifetime when I'm giving you a chakra reading. So in a chakra reading, and I've got a picture of the chakras right behind me on the wall in case somebody doesn't know what the chakras are. I read your chakras, you know, just kind of like in Reiki, where, you know, I just kind of scan your energy centers. And then oftentimes spirit will show me like, oh, you've had a past life doing this or that. And not in every reading, because sometimes it just doesn't apply. Sometimes spirit's like, it doesn't matter right now. But if somebody, you know, if it does come up, absolutely. I mean, that is actually something quite common that does happen in my readings, is I'm able to tap into somebody's past life. Or lives, because there are so many. We've had a lot.
You know, the whole concept that like there really isn't a past, present, or future, that it's all happening now.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know, kind of going back, if you will, to past life, that's why it's able to heal
now,
situations now and what's yet to come.
Yeah, that's actually very true, Melissa. And I wasn't going to bring that up because I didn't want to hurt anybody's head, because it's hard to like figure that out. Wait a minute, the past, present, and future is all happening right now. I remember when I first learned that, it was actually, I was getting a reading and he was a channel and he was channeling to me. He said, Dana, in your past life regression work, I want you to know, or spirit wants you to know, that it's all happening right now. It's all, your past lives are happening right now. Like there's no such thing as time. And it took me so long to wrap my head around that. I was like, wait a minute, this is, changes everything, but it's all dimensional. And so if somebody is listening or watching and wants to try to wrap your head around that, you know, it's all fascinating. And then we can therefore kind of change our karma for the future if we are processing some of that stuff now. And a lot of it is relationships. That's mm-hmm. a big one that people ask me about. You know, I've got this really interesting relationship with this family member. What happened between us? And it's like, oh, wow, well, this person stole your baby in a past life. And in this life, they're trying to make it up to you. And you haven't forgiven them, or something really crazy.
It's right.
Way. And this work isn't for my entertainment, but I've gone on some adventures in these regressions with my clients. Atlantis, that was one of the greatest regressions that I'd ever done. And I actually, that was a regression that I gave to my teacher, and it's her birthday today. So it's so interesting that I'm thinking of that one, but it just was incredible. Answered a lot of questions. And even in one of the regressions that I did with somebody, we solved a murder. I'm not going to talk too much about it, because it was a case where this person was actually a celebrity in a past life. And it was a political situation where the news had reported that this person committed suicide. But in the regression, this person was like, no, I was murdered. And this person came into my home and forced pills into my mouth. And I was, you know, half asleep and already, you know, on drugs. And they just found me the next day laying on the floor. And I was like, we just solved murder. But I'm sworn to secrecy. Maybe people can fill in the blanks and figure it out, because it was kind of a big scandal many decades ago.
get the crime solving clue, you know.
Yeah. Really, really interesting. Everybody wants to be a celebrity in past life, but I've only found it once. And then in another regression I did, somebody was Albert Einstein's sister in this past life. And that was a fascinating one as well, mm-hmm. hearing about Albert Einstein from his sister's perspective. But she had her own things to discover in that lifetime.
Oh, right.
Fascinating stuff.
Well, you know, there's always, like, I remember the first time I was learning or hearing about past lives, it was always like somebody was Cleopatra, somebody was Alexander the Great, you know, everybody was always the most important famous person of certain time periods. And I'm like, how could everybody
right.
be Alexander the Great?
Right.
You know, and
in
so
hundreds and hundreds of regressions I've done, I found one celebrity and a celebrity sister. A lot of the celebrities don't come back. Like that's their, if they were really, really famous, maybe that was the last life that they needed to have.
Could be.
Even Sylvia Brown had said she rarely came across somebody who was a celebrity in a past life. And she'd done also like probably thousands of regressions herself. And Dr. Brian Weiss, I don't know if anybody is familiar with him, but he wrote Many Lives, Many Masters. Mm-hmm. He's a great, great resource for past life regression, and he does wonderful talks on the TV shows and how he was a skeptic and he was coming, you know, at it from a medical perspective, and his stories are fascinating. And I actually had a past life regression from him when I lived in California, and that was really, really, really profound. That was probably my favorite regression that I ever had. And, you know, it's not for our entertainment so much as it is for our healing. So usually when I'm seeing somebody for the first time, they're going to go to a past lifetime that they either need to understand something in their current life. Again, maybe it's a similar lesson or karmic reconciliation that they're moving through. It's the same person that they were in a past life with in a relationship, or something traumatic happened to them in a past life that they're still carrying, they're still holding on to, or a phobia. So we go and resolve that. Now, a lot of times people come back for a second or even a third regression with me. And then those are the lives where maybe we get to go now to your favorite life. Now that we got the ones out of the way that, you know, you needed to heal from or learn from, well, now let's go visit some of the lives where you didn't have too much trauma, but you had maybe gifts and you want to express those gifts now. Like, oh, you were a dancer in a past life and you were thinking about going into dancing in this life. I think it's a pretty good idea. I think you got a good chance that you'll be great.
Right.
But, you know, the soul remembers if it's in the soul's plan. So, you know, really, I've seen some really neat changes in people's lives after having a regression, and a lot of understanding too. Like, why can't I have children in this life? Well, look, in every life you've ever had, you had 7 children. You didn't want any in this life.
You needed a break.
Yeah. You said, in my last life, I'm not having kids. And then the ego tells you something's wrong.
Right. Well, and our society is like, why don't you have kids?
Right.
You know, when are you going to finally have kids? And that's still, I think, a social issue that still gets kind of crammed down your throat, you know?
Yeah.
So Lindsay has a question. She asks if, can past life physical characteristics such as birth defects, reoccur in the present, like an underbite or lazy eye?
Only if you want them to. I know that birthmarks are definitely, can be an indication of something that happened to you in a past lifetime. For example, I have a birthmark on my chest, and I know that it came from a bullet wound in a past life. And a lot of people would want their birthmarks on their body to sort of remind them, almost like a badge of honor, like, I'm here again, I survived that wound. So birthmarks absolutely can portend an injury or something that happened in a past lifetime. And me having intuitive abilities, like, I'll just be in public and I'll see a stranger with, you know, a birthmark on their neck, and I'll get a flash of what happened to them in a past life. Now, I'm not going to walk up to them and say, hey, did you know that this happened in a past life? No, I just kind of bite my tongue, but because sometimes spirit just feeds me information like that. But as far as birth defects go, no, I don't think you carry those over from a past lifetime. I think that we kind of choose things before we're born for our lesson. Like, somebody might choose, well, I'm going to have this diagnosis or this disability or this illness in this lifetime for this reason. They wouldn't have maybe carried that over from a past life. A lot of times we'll choose it. Very, very evolved souls choose things like that for the learning of the people who are caregiving. You know, say if it's somebody who maybe has Down syndrome or, you know, cerebral palsy or anything like that, that they might have chosen it from an evolved place that says, yeah, I want to go back in and I want to have this, you know, sort of limitation and or not. Like, sometimes I call it an ability, because you have the ability to live life without an ego. So, yeah, just to sort of answer that question, you know, if you have something like that, maybe it's from a past life, but maybe not. So, again, we don't know all the answers until we go in and try. But it's possible, but it's also not.
You know, and it's a great question, because I've got a great friend and colleague who also falls under the whole, you know, non-human, and she has quite a bit of physical issues this lifetime. And, you know, we've sat and joked, because, you know, I've got my little quirks too, and I'm like, you know, maybe the human body couldn't handle, you know, the essence of, you know, the other being, and it kind of short circuits for a minute.
Yeah, that could very well be possible.
So have you ever, you know, thinking of my friend there, like, had somebody go, you know, I've got this wrong, this wrong, this wrong, and has it ever come to be? It's like, well, because your essence is this big, you know, and the human body's this big, and you're trying to cram it all in one.
For sure. I think that's why babies wiggle and cry so much. That huge, huge soul is trying to fit into a tiny little physical thing that it's not used to, because the soul is huge. But yeah, I do know this, where beings from other galaxies and other planets come in and they don't even want to be in the womb. They come out 3 months early. They come out, right? They come out premature because they're like, I don't even understand how to be inside this Bible. Can't wait to get this life started. Or just like you said, like, I don't understand having this body. And again, that's maybe part of what they want to learn, is about how to deal with sort of the foibles of having a human body and that discomfort, but also choosing it. And I think a past life regression would help somebody like that. I think it might help them feel more comfortable in their body, because I think a human body is very uncomfortable. And we don't know that, you know, except when we're first born, because it's not our natural state to be contained in these biological vehicles. It is just a temporary thing. And the body is really a pile of dust and water, if you really want to go there and think about that. But the soul is eternal, lives on and on. And so one of the things that I hear after somebody dies in their past lifetime that always just comforts me so much, and this has been said over and over again in the hundreds of regressions I've done, is how amazing it feels to die. How wonderful it feels to leave the body, how powerful, just like the phoenix, how powerful it is to just go back to your natural state, and there's no ego and there's no confines of a body, and you just, wherever you go, right? Some heaven, some the stars, some the sky, some become nature. Some, there's so many different things that I hear about what happens when we die. And the majority is it's a loving, wonderful place that we go to, where every animal companion we've ever had and every life we've ever had is there waiting, and all of our loved ones and angels, and pull us through. And so I hear a lot of that, but I also hear some other things too. I go straight to the stars. I go back to my home. I go back. And so there's a lot. It's really mind expanding. And it can be very exciting, because then we live our lives differently when we start to tap into this stuff and know that, yeah, we are here for a short period of time. That doesn't mean I'm going to waste this life, but it does tell me that it's not so serious. Like, I can do more here than if I'm afraid of something. Stop being afraid of it. This, just do it. Just
right.
Stop avoiding your power and move beyond the ego and do what you came here to do.
Now, I know I've heard people when I've mentioned, you know, like, hey, you know, Dana can do past life. One of the fears I would hear the most from people when they're nervous about doing it is they don't want to relive a death event. So, you know, how do you help? Do your clients have to relive the death event, or can you walk them through it? Like, they're afraid of being traumatized by reliving, you know, the drowning or the being shot or the wasting away from, you know, some sort of disease.
Yeah, it's understandable. I mean, we've been taught in our lives by every teacher we've probably ever had, including our parents, that death is something terrible. It's something awful. It has been programmed into us as human beings that it's a thing to fear. And then, of course, it doesn't help when we have movies and television and violence and all of that on the screen that desensitizes us, or the other way around. It puts fear into us and gets our imagination going. But I would have a talk with this person. I would say, you know what, if you're really, really afraid, then you're not ready. I don't want to regress somebody who's afraid. I want to regress somebody who wants help. So fear can actually be a blockage. Just want to say, like, if I do 9 out of 10 past life regressions, the 9 are going to go through, and then there will be one person that doesn't go through, and either they get in their own way or they're really not ready. But I would tell the person, there's wording during the actual regression when I guide you there. And that's how I do it. I guide you there with my words, with relaxation, visualization, breath work, getting the memory muscle strengthened, get you into your third eye, put the ego aside, put the spirit mind in charge. And then I sort of drop you off at a past life. You know, your soul chooses it. We're looking at a map. Your soul is going to choose a place that it needs to revisit. Let's go there now. Where are you? And okay, here's where I am. Now, in the walking them through their past lifetime, I intuitively ask certain questions. I get to sort of the bones of, what do you need to understand? Why are you revisiting this past lifetime? How will it help you now? And then we go and visit the death in that past life. Now, they're not reliving it. You are watching it like a reporter, like an observer. You're detached from it. It's not happening to you now. It's almost like you're viewing it. It's almost like you're, yeah. So nobody is ever like the you know, the person who had drowned in his past life. He's not laying there in front of me coughing and spitting. He's not, you know, he's talking to me very, very detached. Like, I regressed somebody once who was just sitting there very matter of fact. And then they came into my tribe and they raped me and they stole my child and my husband wouldn't help me. And she's just talking very matter of fact about it. She isn't screaming and howling and doing all of this stuff. She, you know, because your soul's in charge and your soul isn't afraid. Your soul is not afraid. It's impossible for the soul to have fear. It is only the ego that's afraid, and you are not your ego. So that's how I would answer that question. And a lot of people, after they do see their own death in a past life, is to understand you're still here. Decades, centuries later, you survived. You're still here. And you're still you. And let's look at that, right? So hopefully that makes sense and answered the question.
Yeah, I think that would help put some fears to rest for anybody who's
absolutely
watching.
The people that I give regressions to, they're like, I'm not afraid of death anymore. Especially once they let themselves go through it and look at it and say, wow, I feel amazing. That feels so great. It wasn't what I thought. Even if it's a terrible, painful death in a past life, it's just, it doesn't, you're not, you don't have it now. You don't pull that in. You know, spirit, mm-hmm. there's no reason to pull that in. It's not helpful. So your soul will just like, no, you're not going to get that. Yeah. Terrible experience back here. So.
Well, very awesome. April is wondering if before scheduling an appointment with you, would you recommend that the client meditate for days or weeks? And if so, does it help them go deeper into the regression if they do this prep work?
That is such a great question, April. Thank you for asking that. I actually do recommend if somebody does not have a meditation practice that they do meditate before their regression because it will be helpful. It is harder for me to regress somebody who never meditates or who has never done, and not always. Some people go right in. Some people, I have to take a little more time with them. And which means like they'll not go somewhere right away. And so I'll have to say, okay, so let's try it again. And you know, I just take them deeper and deeper and deeper. So I have to work a little harder to get them there, and I still might get them there. But people who do have a meditation practice, they usually go there pretty quickly. Sometimes people are there before I even get them there. That's how much the soul wants to learn and heal. Because I think it works more often than not. It works most often because the soul wants it. The soul wants you to do it. But I definitely would recommend meditating if you really want to. And there's no side effects to meditation. There's, you know, it's just one of the greatest things that you could ever do. I mean, I prescribe meditation as medication, as a spiritual teacher and healer, that absolutely there's meditation can help you with all things in your life. So.
Yeah, I can't think of any negative side effect.
No. Unless you just, all you want to be is in meditation and you want to escape reality, then there could be. Because meditation also feels good.
Yeah, I was going to say that wouldn't be the negative side effect of the meditation. That would be more of an addiction of the avoidance of other things. And so you sit in meditation.
100%.
That's a whole other underlying problem.
It is. Avoidance is actually one of the five causes of human suffering, according to the ancient Yoga Sutras, which is this thousands and thousands of years old yoga philosophy, is avoiding things that we know that we should probably be doing.
Oh, right. And that you know, is probably a cause of why somebody might have a reoccurring theme or lesson, because you keep avoiding it.
What you resist persists. And then when you do it, you're probably like, it wasn't that bad.
Right.
Why are we avoiding this? And it's probably some fear from a past life.
So come get a session, find out what it is.
Well, and then let's just talk about that with the witches, like women who aren't embracing their intuitive abilities or their witchy interests because in a past lifetime they were ostracized or burned, right? Or tortured for it. So in this lifetime, they're relearning how to do that, how to have confidence in that, how to come out of the closet, how to be who they are. I have done so many regressions for women who were called witches in past lives and who were shunned for it, to say the least. Priestesses and temples and Christianity came in and, you know, imprisoned them and all of this. And then I've heard some fascinating ways out of it as well. And it definitely correlates to what they're doing in this current lifetime, or to embrace with more confidence their healing abilities and know that it won't happen to them in this life. You're not going to get put in prison. You won't get tortured. You won't get burned in this lifetime. So say the things, do the things, be who you are.
Right. I think this is probably the most accepted time period now, I think, for that.
Yeah.
You know, granted, there are still some areas where, you know, you might get the side eye and told that they'll pray for you and that you're
confused. Yeah.
But in majority, I would like to think, you know, even with the clients that come into the store, they're like, you're going to think I'm crazy. And I'm like, do you see where you're standing?
Yeah. I say that all the time. Nothing is crazy when you're talking to me.
Yeah. Right.
I want to share a story about a past life regression where a woman came to me. She thought she was crazy. She said to me, here's the thing. I want to bite flesh. I want to put my teeth in flesh and I want to bite flesh. Was I a vampire in a past life? That's what I want to know. She goes, because I can't get it out of my head. And I've only shared it with a certain amount of people. And I don't know what's wrong with me. And I go, nothing's crazy. Nothing's weird. Nothing's wrong with you. Let's go in and see. And I didn't want to burst her bubble and tell her vampires aren't real. But ended up regressing her to a past lifetime in Africa where she was on a tribe and was revered for being the person who took animal skins and turned them into things. And she saw herself putting the animal skins in her teeth and pulling and stretching the skins and turning it and pulling and stretching it and turning it and pulling and stretching it and pounding it and sewing it and pulling and stretching, using her teeth as a tool, and was held in high. She was the only one in the tribe that could do it. She was making clothes and weapons and, you know, shelter and all kinds of tools out of animal skins. She knew how to dry them, how to tan them, how to, you know, stretch them and pull them and all of these things. And so she was actually like famous. People would come from other tribes to like have her make my shield and all of this stuff. And in this lifetime, she was looking for validation. She was trying to be revered for something that she was working on and looking for the recognition. And so all of these past life tendencies were coming up in her of having skin in her flesh in her mouth. And isn't that crazy? So I want to tell everybody out there, nothing is too weird. There's probably a reason. There's probably some kind of connection. Don't think you're crazy.
There's a root to all of this.
Yes. You know?
But if she were to tell somebody, they're like, here's a pill for this. Stop doing that.
I know. That bothers me when kids start having past life memories and intuitive abilities is when somebody just says, oh, I'm taking you to the doctor. You're weird. Let's get you on some meds.
Mm-hmm.
Or let's just look at the truth. Let's get them a spiritual teacher.
And help them, you know, embrace and grow instead of trying to stifle. And that can cause more problems and a snowball effect later.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, for anybody who is joining us a little later, we'll put the banner back up, the information to book a session with Dana. You can call her at 818-720-4399. You serve a lot of the Cleveland area for if they were to call you and wanted to do something in person.
Yeah.
But they can also call you and set something up through Zoom or some other means if, you know, they're out of state or down in Cincinnati or.
Right, exactly. And I also do gift certificates. If somebody wants to get this as a gift for somebody for the holidays, what a unique gift. I wanted to let you know that a past life regression takes between 90 minutes and 2 hours. The whole process, and that includes talking before and after, because I don't just, you know, sit you down and get through it. Like, we spend a little time getting to know each other and talking and to let you know that you can trust me, and it really is a very gentle process. In the hundreds of regressions I've ever done, not one single person ever said to me, I wish I didn't do that. So it's always really fascinating, and you know, sometimes I give the option of you're welcome to record this, or I will write down everything that you say and type it up for you so that you have a written account of your regression. Because how it works is I guide you through guided meditation. It is similar to hypnosis, but not in hypnosis. And I did train in hypnosis. The way that I was taught was that you and I apologize if there's hypnotherapists out there that do past life regression. It does work through hypnotherapy, 100%. But just my teacher, when I was learning this, because I went to hypnosis school, my teacher then about this was saying, like, overwhelm the mind with a barrage of message units and get them to shut down so you can go in and pull out those memories. And I thought, that's a little aggressive. And at the time I was really into guided meditation, and that's what, you know, Sylvia Brown's book was offering. This is a guided meditation. And so being a yoga and meditation teacher, it just fit right in that I'm not going to do this as hypnosis. There is a very subtle difference. I'm going to do this as a guided meditation, which I'm going to relax you so much. It gets you so calm that you're going to open up and offer it to me. I'm not going to shut you down so I can get it. You're going to relax and open up and give it. And so I get you there and you tell me where, what's going on. And now I can sometimes, if I'm giving a reading, I can tell you, but I like it when it comes out of your own mouth, because then you understand that came out of you. You didn't have a stranger tell you this was your past life, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. It came out of you. And in my experience too, because I know some hypnotherapists and I know some people who have done past life regression through hypnosis, which again, it's fine if you find a hypnotherapist, great. But that they don't remember as much of their regression. They only maybe remember 20% of it, and they have to rely on the recording. In the way that I do it, you will remember the whole thing. Just like you got dressed in the morning, you remember 100% of it. Now, maybe you said so much that you forgot that detail, which is why I like to write it down or have it recorded for you. Oh, I forgot I said that. But yeah, I said that, because there's so much information that can come through. And so it's really, really fascinating and wonderful. And you do feel, you just think about it after you have your regression, like, wow, that is just so amazing. And you think about it for days, and the results can be immediate.
Yeah, it's so easy. The couple times that I've done it, it was so interesting. And never, you know, especially the second one, was never anything I would have thought.
Yeah.
Sitting up later, like, really?
You care to share with us?
Well, the second one, like I was a secretary back in like the 60s or 70s, and you know, just a very, and now as I'm saying this, Mike, I can kind of see the whole, like, I go to work and I come home, like, you know, and certain friends kept going like, let's go out, let's go party, let's this, let's that. And you know, and I always felt uncomfortable, but I took them up on it, and like, it did not end well, you know, and I'm like, I wonder if that's why, you know, here to this day, I'm like, not into large groups of people.
That could be really, really interesting. And plus, if you were a secretary, you were working for somebody else to help somebody else's life be better. And now in this life, you said, this time I'm working for me. Yeah. Like, obviously you're working for a community as well, but this is your business. You're not helping somebody else get rich and have an organized life.
Yeah. I'm going to put all that time and effort in for me, you know, instead of, you know, pushing papers for somebody else.
Yeah.
So April was wondering if you want to share like how much the cost is for your sessions.
My sessions are between $150 and $200, depending. So that depends on the location. It depends on if you want me to write it for you. It depends on where do I have to drive to? Are you coming to me? So somewhere between $150 and $200, depending. So
it really isn't bad for 90 minutes.
No, most hypnotherapists charge $200 for past life regression, and they don't even get you there in the first try. They spend the whole first session talking to you, then you got to go back. And again, not all of them, but some that I know of and some that I've heard of. Absolutely. I've heard this more than once. So the first session for $200, we're just going to talk. Then you're going to come back for $200 more and get your regression. So I don't need you for two sessions. I just want to give you the help.
You want to do something else different.
Yeah. You know. But it is a really unique form of therapy that can open your eyes to so much more beyond what is in front of us and your soul's history, your soul's journey. It is so fascinating when we start to learn more about who we are based on who we've been and who we are becoming. It's just so fascinating. And in some of the regressions I've done, like I said, with Atlantis, and then also another teacher of mine went to Lemuria. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of Lemuria before, but it was a continent just like Atlantis. And they were more of sort of like the Native American style civilization, where the Atlanteans were more of the advanced technological side. And the Lemurians were very concerned that the Atlanteans were abusing the resources, because they started cloning things. And they thought, and the Lemurians were just more like, oh my gosh, you can't abuse, you know, our source. You can't, you know, you're going to hurt this planet. And even walked me through the waves coming and the comets crashing and all of that stuff. I mean, just fascinating things. And in that regression, she was saying to me, we're doing it again. Humans are doing it again, if we're not careful.
Mm-hmm.
And that just gives me chills. thinking about that. And she's one of the people here. She's studying eco-psychology and trying to help save this planet any way she can, because she had a past life living through that.
All right. Well, we're almost 5 minutes out from ending. So if we have any last minute questions, feel free to ask and get you a quick question or quick answer, I should say, from Dana. You know, but Dana is able to meet with clients at Goddess Elite. If you call and schedule that ahead of time, we'll put the number back up again, because I took it down and I'm like, let's do something else.
It's the Los Angeles number, but I am in Cleveland now.
Get to pretend we're living both sides of the continent.
Yeah.
Number, especially if it's warmer in Los Angeles today than what it is here.
Yeah, but they've been having some cold weather. I got a lot of friends there still.
Well, you know, the last 2 years that I went to Tucson, like I'd get there in Phoenix and there'd be snow. And I'm like, this isn't allowed. I left Ohio. Get away from this. Why is there snow in Phoenix? So I'm hoping this coming January, if we can still go, will be warmer. All right. Well, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap it up. No last minute questions. So thank you, everybody, for joining our Wednesday morning conversation with Dana about past life and regression. We didn't really touch a whole lot on reincarnation, now that I think about it.
Maybe that's kind of the same thing. Like, we do reincarnate time and time again, and we choose it. We choose it. We say yes or no. If somebody wants us to come back into life with them, we get to decide if we want to help them through something. I think that's why people kind of check out if they got to a certain, they died young, right? But they charted that. They were only meant to be here for a certain period of time, to a certain chapter, maybe to help somebody else with something. But yeah, reincarnation kind of goes hand in hand with past life regression, because you know that you're reincarnating, you're coming back. So it's kind of the same thing, but we can do it for karmic reasons. We can do it. Maybe we watch our lifetime after we cross over and we say, oh, I didn't quite learn patience or temperance, so I want to go back in and master that. right. So we choose, you know, there is no mean man in the sky that says, you go back to Earth and relive your life. We choose it. It's our free will. And we don't come here alone. We come here with a lot of protection, a lot of guides. I know this. I've heard it in the regressions about the angels and guides that we have in life with us. And it's really, really amazing. It just helps us embrace this human experience when we know that we are not alone and we have comfort, and this is all an illusion.
Right. Well, you know, and that whole like plan, like I think there's somewhat of comfort, you know, when you really sit back and think, like, if you're having a really hard time, you know, be like, you wrote this out knowing that you know how to get through it.
Exactly. And that could be an addiction. It could be getting bullied. It could be an abusive relationship. I mean, you're exactly right. And I've seen that time and time again. You wrote that in for yourself because you knew at the time that you could overcome it. And maybe if you're writing that in your chart before you come into life too, the soul is choosing that, your guides and angels are saying, are you sure? Are you sure this addiction is going to be really, really hard? Or this relationship is going to, are you sure? Yes, I know I can do it. I know I can do it, because we're coming from this place of eternal divinity and love. We don't have egos then. We're just feeling, and then we get into these bodies and we have these egos and there's fears, and then the world is imposed upon us and we're like, oops. We forget, right? We forget the lives we wrote for ourselves, because if we remembered them all the things, you know, that we chose before we came here for a lot of our fate and destiny, we wouldn't learn our lessons if we had all the answers. So,
right. You know, sometimes I'll joke and I'm like, oh, I'm so mad at all of my, I'm like, y'all thought this was funny to let me write this, didn't you?
I actually have a memory of being on the other side in front of the council with the plan for this lifetime. They said, you're going to be very busy, Dana. Are you sure you can handle it? I was like, oh, yes. They said, you're going to be helping a lot of people. I said, I can do it. Put me in a body. That's what I said. They said, okay. And another woman that I love, she goes, she doesn't have a great relationship with her parents. She goes, I regressed her. She goes, I literally was standing in front of a wheel, like Wheel of Fortune or Price is Right, and I spun for my parents. I was like, ah, give me those. But a lot of times we do know the people in our lives that we've had many lives. I've had 17 lives with my twin brother. I've had 8 with my husband. I mean, you just know, you know, mm-hmm. When you meet somebody, you're like, we've known each other before.
Right. Well, and there's that comfort too, to know like those good, close people, you know, they agreed to come down and give you some sort of assistance.
Absolutely. And vice versa.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, on that great note, we will wrap up, and thank you everybody for joining us. April and Melanie have, you know, said hello and thanks. So keep in touch with us, be it Facebook or on YouTube. I'm sure we'll have more chats coming up as soon as we decide what our topic is going to be.
Absolutely. What does everybody want to hear me talk about?
Feel free to put suggestions in the comment area, even if this is after this is done airing. Like, we'll get notified and we can go back and read them. And maybe the next topic that we talk about on Wednesday morning with hot cups of coffee or tea.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. And it's Tuesday, by the way, isn't it?
Oh, it is Tuesday.
They're all the same right now.
I swear, like the last month, like I keep living a day to like 4 days in advance. And I have to keep
a hot day.
I have to bring myself back. Like, oh, like in my mind, it's Wednesday. No, it's only Tuesday.
So funny. Well, thanks for tuning in, everybody. And thanks for your attention. And thank you, Melissa. It was such a lovely chat. And I hope everybody has a great day.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining. And we'll see you soon.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.